Some of the things that we kind of took for granted, they were very important. And I think these things, spiritual things, church, serving, giving, you know, winning souls, making disciples is what it's all about. I really believe that. So as we were talking about this Pastor's Appreciation Day, we have our lead team meeting. And besides the pastors, we have, you know, Jordan Williams and Michael Crames that are part of the lead team. Jordan, of course, leads worship. Michael Crames leads our college ministry, which is going great, by the way. They started their meeting out on the land. They've got the pavilion up there, and they're having a fun time sitting around the campfire. Now this cool weather is going to make it even better. And we said, well, and Michael said, well, you know, you guys, it's pastor appreciation. We ought to give all of you, Pastor Bill, you know, we ought to give you the week off. I said, okay, well, Pastor Mike can preach. No, he's a pastor, too. We need to give him. We'll let Pastor Carl preach. No, we got to give him. So we said, well, okay, well, you do it. He said, okay, I'll do it. So we agreed that Michael Crames would share the message today and give us pastors a chance to sit back and enjoy the message. He shared, two months ago, he shared his first message, and it was incredible. It was, he just knocked it out of the park, so I know it's going to be even better today. Welcome Michael Crames as he comes and brings the message for today. God bless you, Michael Crames.
Hi.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be up here. Tell you, last time I preached, that was like the most fun I'd ever had, I think. That was really fun. Let me step my stopwatch here. Well, I'm really glad to be here, and we just, last time I honored the pastors when I got up here, but we already did that, so I'm going to honor the rest of you. I'm going to honor all of you guys, because if you remember, a couple months back, we had a fundraiser, as he said, to start our college group and raise $4,600 to buy a pavilion and put it on our church land so we could start our college group again. And as Pastor Bill says, we've been having services out there, and it's been going great. So I want to show you a couple pictures. So if you want to put that first slide up there, there's the pavilion. Look, it's got lights and everything. Isn't that look cool? Looks awesome up there. Can you believe that was only $4,600? We got a deal. Alexis got us a deal on that thing. So there's a generator out there. We got power. And everyone who's been out there said, man, they love the atmosphere. It's just really great. And if you want to put that next picture up there, there's us worshiping around the campfire. And I think I'm preaching a message right there or something. By the way, look at that logo. Look at that. Jenny Sanjana designed that logo for us. The pavilion. I like it. It's like simplistic, but good, you know. And that's what we've named ourselves, the pavilion. And you want to put up the next slide. Me and my brother built a stage, and we got a sound system up there. So we got the whole shebang. It's going awesome. There's just one little issue is we got some empty chairs up there. We got to fill that with some people. And God's already working on that. Last Friday, we had two new people already from outside of church. So it's already starting to grow. So I want to honor you guys for all the work you did for that fundraiser. It was great. And it did what it was supposed to do. Amen? All right. You guys ready for my message title? All right. Message title. Get ready. It's a three-part title. Not a three-part series, but a three-part title. So you put the first part of it up there. God is real, .. That's important to know, right? God is real. Next part. Today, .. For you, .. Now, when I first wrote this, I was just going to leave it at God is real today, because I think that's really important that he's not just real in the past, but he's real today. He's still moving. And, oh, thank you, Dustin. Does anyone need message notes? We have message notes. If you need them, raise your hand, and Dustin will get you message notes. Thank you, Dustin. God is real today, but God told me to add one more thing to it. God is real today for you, for each and every one of you, because each one of these things kind of gets sequentially harder to believe in. If you talk to pretty much anyone in the world, most people will say, yeah, I believe God is real. You know, I believe maybe he was in the past, but they don't really believe he's real today. Like maybe he did something long time ago, but we're on our own today. And then you start believing, yeah, God is real today. He's still moving. He's still believing. This is where a lot of Christians are. But I notice what a lot of people have trouble with is they have trouble believing God is real for them, that the promises of the Bible are true for them. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people that go a little something like this. So this is me. This is the person I'm talking to. So me, I'm like, oh, how, we're at church. How are you doing today? He's like, oh man, I'm doing good on my back though. It's been killing me, and it's been years. And you know, I'm soldiering on, but it's going good. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But I got some healing scriptures, and there's a deeper service coming up. Why don't you start studying that? And we'll get you prayed for to get you healed. He's like, oh no. That's just me. This is just the way I am. You know, it's the way it's always going to be. And I'm like, well, you know, you believe God heals. It talks in scripture, right? Oh yeah, I believe that. So God can heal you. Nope. God doesn't heal me. So then I really tried to get into it. Like, okay, you believe the Bible. You believe once God spoke the entire universe into existence with just words. Yep, I believe that. You believe God once flooded the earth and fit everything in the planet into an ark? Yep, I believe that. Amen, brother. You believe all these other miracles that are in the Bible, tons of them. You believe that Jesus walked around healing the sick, casting out demons, all that? Absolutely. Who do you think I am? Absolutely, I believe that. And Jesus said that these things I do, you shall do, for I go to be with, and even greater than these, for I go to be with the Father. Absolutely. So God wants to heal you. Nope. He wants to heal this guy. I'll pray for this guy, but not me. Why do we think that way? Why is it easier for us to believe these awesome miracles that the Bible talks about, speaking the words into existence, than one thing for God just healing us? Not just physical pains, but mental and stuff like that too. And I've had trouble with this myself. I know I'm being the person talking by right now, but I've had this issue too. And tell me if you're with me on this. I've believed for other people who have the same issues that I do and believe 100% that God is going to deliver them, and then had trouble believing for myself for the same issue. Anyone else? Am I the only one like that? No. Why is that so hard for us to believe that God is better for one person and not for us? Did you know that God does not show favoritism? Actually, I can prove it to you if you put up that next scripture. For God does not show favoritism. There you go. I didn't shorten that, by the way. That's the whole verse. God does not show favoritism. If God is real for one person, he's real for everybody. The Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen. Not yes and only if you're Jordan Williams, or only if you're got the last name Crames or DeCano, or if you're a pastor. No, God's promises are yes and amen, all right? So why is it that we have such a hard time believing that God is real for us? Well, there's many reasons, it's probably different for each person, but there's one that I really want to touch on, and I actually spoke about this at college group 2 weeks ago, is I think the reason we have such a hard time believing God is real for us is that we feel like that we are not worthy of God's love. And we're happy to help God. We think he's awesome. We think he's mighty. We'll pray for someone else in a heartbeat. But when God starts speaking to us, no, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy of your love, God. Talk to someone else. I'll help someone else, but not me. Is that true? Are we not worthy of God's love? Well, to an extent, none of us are worthy of God's love, but God died on the cross for every single one of us. The reason we have such a hard time, and I spoke about this at college group. I said I had a service called Know Your Worth, because that's a really hard problem for this generation, especially my generation. Self-worth is a big issue. A lot of people don't feel like they're worthy, like they're worth anything. And if you remember, Pastor Bill said I spoke a couple months ago, and I remember what I spoke on. I said how to hear the voice of God. And I said the difference between God talking and the devil talking. When God speaks, it's life and life abundantly. When the devil speaks, it's steal, kill, and destroy. When God speaks, it encourages. When the devil speaks, it discourages. Yeah. So if you're having this thought in your head, I'm not worthy, is that coming from God? No. Who's that coming from? No. Do you have to listen to that?
No,
you cast that devil out. How dare you, devil? I am a child of God. So I'm going to prove to you right now how much you're worth to God. Okay, you ready for this? Go up to the next scripture. Matthew 10:31. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Well, amen. Awesome. We're worth more than sparrows. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty darn good. What's a sparrow worth? Well, I can't tell you what a sparrow's worth, but I can surely tell you what a bat is worth. Do you know I used to be a zookeeper? I was a zookeeper for 10 years. I'm in accounting now, but I worked with bats for 8 years, giant fruit bats. So I know all, I can tell you all about bats. And let me tell you what a bat is worth. I want to tell you a story of a little bat named Sunshine. Now, Sunshine was called a golden-mantled flying fox. They're about this big, and they got wings are about that big. If you guys think that's big, our biggest ones are this big. They have a 6-foot wingspan. But Sunshine's a smaller bat. Now, Sunshine was about to be born. His mother's name is Stellar. And we're a little nervous for Sunshine being born. Actually, he wasn't named yet. We don't name him until after they're born. But we're nervous because Stellar was a first-time mom. She never had a baby before. And even in the wild, that's rough for a lot of animals. Sometimes they lose their firstborn because they haven't learned how to take care of them yet. So that's always a nervous time. So Sunshine starts to get born, and there's a problem immediately. We see feet coming out first. That's called a breech birth. That's when you come out backwards. You're supposed to come out head first. So, uh-oh, we got a problem here. First-time mom, and he's coming out wrong. And unfortunately, the mother rejected him. She couldn't take care of him. And Sunshine was, he was having a hard time. He was barely moving. He wasn't breathing very well. So we rushed in there, and we grabbed him, and we brought him inside. And we're all trained in basic veterinary skills. You know, we're not vets, but, you know, the closest vets are far away, so we got to try to do it ourselves. So we put Sunshine on the table, and his breath is getting slower. We put oxygen on him. We're trying to get him to breathe again. And we've been in this situation before, and when we see him going down like that, they don't normally make it. So Sunshine starts breathing slower and slower and slower until he stops breathing altogether. And you hear everyone sigh, and then I was standing right there on the table, and I this is a true story. God told me, put your hand up there and pray over him. So I had my hand on little Sunshine's feet, and I said something like this. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said, in Jesus' name, Lord, heal this bat. Sunshine, take a big breath, pop back to life, and he made this noise. I have never heard an animal make a noise like this before. It's like a shout. I can't even redo it. It's the closest I've ever heard to an animal shouting hallelujah before. It was just this beautiful noise he made. He popped me. His breathing completely went back to normal. He started moving his feet again. He wasn't moving his feet before. And when he did all that, I looked at him and I went, good morning, Sunshine. And everyone in the room went, Sunshine, that's his name. So God healed little Sunshine. And I got a picture of little Sunshine up there. Oh, look at that little guy. Look at little Sunshine. He's got a little sock mom, we call that, because they got to hug on to something, so we give him a sock mom to hug on. We took care of him. We would take him home. I became one of his 7 dads. Moms and dads. Anyway, don't worry about it. We would feed him milk through a syringe and everything, and put the next picture up there. Oh, look at that face. Look at that little Sunshine face. Isn't he adorable? Did you know bats can be cute? And really cool. Look at the next scene. Next guy. That's me teaching him how to fly. So that's this is little Sunshine right here. That's little me. Look how skinny I was back then. This is 9 years ago. I'm obviously huge now, but no, back then I was pretty skinny. I'm teaching Sunshine how to fly. I would have him fly between us. We had gloves on. We don't handle him barehanded. So he'd always fly, and we'd catch him, then we'd move back further, and he'd fly farther. And then we had him flying on his own. Course, but he had to kind of learn the hard way. He's used to everything catching him. He had to learn the hard way the wall doesn't catch you when you fly into it. So it took he had some growing pains with that. But now Sunshine is now 9 years old. He's full grown. And God saved that little bat. That's how much a bat is worth to God. And I asked God, why did you do that? Why did you save Sunshine? Nobody got saved. None of the people in the room, gave their life to the Lord or anything. God said, I just love Sunshine. I love that bat. God loves animals, right? So I'm going to change that scripture a little, or I'm going to say it in Michael version. You're worth more than many sparrows. You are worth more than many sunshines. Do you know that? If God is willing to do that, to heal a bat and also give him a family, we have a new family, how much more is God willing to do for all of you? You are very much worth it to God. In fact, I want you all to say that. Say, I am worth God's time. I am worth God's time. You are absolutely worth God's time. That's how much you're worth to God. Pastor Bill said some other scriptures where he knows the number of the hairs on your head. The Bible says his thoughts for you are as numerous as the sand. The great God in heaven is always thinking about you, telling you are worth it. Every single one of you. God is real for you, not just for me. So now you're saying, all right, okay, I'm worth it. God loves me, but I'm still not seeing God real in my life. know, how come I'm not seeing these miracles you're talking about? Well, let's go with me to Mark 16, verse 17. It's just verse 17. I put 18 on accident. But verse 17, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." And then it goes on. It says all the miracles and stuff that follow from that. Signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say it shall follow them that are perfect, them that are Jordan, that are pastors, that have certain last names. No, it says them that believe. Are you a them that believe? Yeah. If you want to be a them that believe, I'll give you a chance at the end of this service, but you got to be a them that believe. And there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God and believing God. Knowing that God is real and actually believing and standing on his word. So when trials come, and they're going to come, I promise you, believing is different. No matter how many trials come, no matter how many times it looks like it follows through, you stand on the word of God. That's what believing is, and that's how God becomes real to you. There's a difference between, oh, I know the promise of God. I read about them all the time. I see them. But then when things fall through, you're like, you give up or you move on or you dismiss it and say, oh, I guess it wasn't for me. That's different than believing in God. And I'm going to tell you a story. I got another story. I like stories, by the way, if you haven't noticed. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories about a time that I had to really believe when everything was falling through. And I was probably in the worst condition possible at this time to be used of God. So you might be thinking, oh, I'm too bad. I've done this and that. Just see what condition I'm in when God works through me in this story. So I was once a 14-year-old boy. And when I was a 14-year-old boy, I was in our youth group here at church, and we were doing something called the Gainesville Outreach. The Gainesville Outreach, I think it still goes on today, is when a bunch of the youth groups get together from different churches all throughout the city, and they do a missions trip to Gainesville. It's pretty awesome. They team you up with different youth groups, and you like sleep at each other's churches, and you go. You pick a lower end community, like financial wise. You go to a town, and you spend the whole week ministering to that neighborhood, doing stuff for them, building stuff for them, and praying for them, and preaching to them as well. So I was there. I was 14, and actually I was too young to be in it at the time. You're supposed to be 15. But my youth leader had special permission for me to be there. But remember that, how young I am, because that's going to be important later. So I'm really excited. I like serving things, but there was something I was really scared about. Because I don't know if you know this, but when I was little, I had extreme social phobia. I was terrified to talk to people, absolutely terrified. If there's someone new, I would freeze and I'd start sweating just talking to them. And I'm not kidding. I would sweat because I was so scared of people. And I knew they were going to have us go out and talk and preach to people. And I really wanted to do it because I read the word and I know it's something you do, but I was scared of it. So I had been building myself up the whole week, like trying to build up faith, getting people to pray for me, faith scriptures, so I can go and minister out there and not be afraid. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. This is all going well. Okay. And then something happens. By the way, something's always usually going to happen. When something good's about to happen with God, the devil's going to try to stop it. You know, resistance. The devil's always going to resist it. And I've learned now I rejoice when resistance comes, because that means it's going to be good. You know, if everything's going perfectly, I start to get nervous. Like, oh, the devil should be resisting me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. And then it comes, oh, thank God, you know, my tire just got flat. Praise God, that means it's going to work. But so something happened. And so we're splitting up. We're going out in groups of two or three to spread out through the neighborhood and go knock on doors and ask people if we can pray for them. So I'm ready to go, and I still can't explain what this was, but this pain came over my stomach, like this intense, crippling pain where I could barely even stand. It was so painful, and I don't know what it was. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I didn't have to throw up. I wasn't sick. It was just pain, and I could barely stand. I was crippled over like this, and it came out of nowhere. And I was really discouraged because I wanted to go out and conquer my fear, and now I'm in pain. So they've already set the groups up. People are starting to go, and one of my youth leaders, Stephanie, looks at me, and she says, Michael, if you're in that much pain, you can stay here, because it felt a little better when I sat down. And I was like, oh, yeah, I probably should. It hurts really bad. I don't know what's going on. So I go to sit down. And she walks off. And then my friend Neil walks up. He didn't hear the conversation we just had. And he looked at me and goes, Michael, are you ready? And something clicked in me. I went, yes, I'm ready. So I stood up. I don't care how painful it is, I'm going. So I'm like, there we go. So the whole time I'm going like this, oh, Jesus loves you. Oh, you know, I looked like one of those extras on the Walking Dead TV show. But instead of all the zombies trying to eat you, they're all trying to tell you about Jesus. That was me. I was a Jesus zombie. So I'm walking around, Jesus loves you, we're walking around. And I'm not even exaggerating. That's how painful it was. So they keep walking. Our group's a little bigger. We actually have four guys, and they're all older than me. So they're the ones knocking on the door, and they're preaching to people, and they're praying for people, and I'm like trailing behind, and I'll finally walk up and like, Jesus loves you, and then sit down or something. And guys, I wanted to give up. I wanted to turn around. I was in so much pain. And I'm like, I'm not even doing anything, God. They're the ones talking, and this is really painful. And God kept saying, nope, keep going. I want you to keep going. All right, I'll keep going. It's about an hour of happy pain and anguish goes by, and we're about at the end of the neighborhood, and I'm still trailing behind. Actually, it's getting worse. And a car pulls up next to us and stops, and we hear a voice come out of the car that says, Neil, my friend Neil. He was calling for my friend Neil, and it's someone Neil knows, an acquaintance of his. He's like, "What, Neil, what are you guys doing out here?" He says, "Well, we're walking around asking if we can pray for people." And he goes, "Get in." So we get in the car. It's like something out of a movie, when they drive up and say, "Get in," and you go and do something awesome. I got to see that in real life. Side note, did you know the Christian life is awesome and really fun and exciting things happen to you all the time? I just want to say that as a side note. Back to the message. So we get in the car, and in retrospect, when you're in a rough area of town, maybe you shouldn't have gotten a random car that drove up. But in my defense, I was delirious at this point, and I don't actually remember getting in the car. So I was just there all of a sudden, and we're driving somewhere. I'm like, how'd I get here? But as far as I can tell, he's telling us that he's taking us to see his grandma. Who's already a Christian, by the way, but she's having a lot of problems. So they're taking us to see his grandma. So the next thing I know, we're in the house because I don't remember walking there because I'm, at this point. And so there's his grandma, a sweet, sweet old lady. She's got her cane with her. She's smiling. And the three other guys who are older than me are talking to her. They're encouraging her. And I actually go and sit in the corner because, I'm in pain. And I'm actually gripping the carpet because I'm in so much pain. But I'm just sitting in the corner, I'm not even talking, and I'm just looking down, and she tells them, yeah, I need some prayer. My knees, I got to have surgery, they're in so much pain, and the doctors have already scheduled, and we got to do surgery on my knees. And she goes, also, while you're at it, I got a loved one that's their marriage is not doing good. If you could pray for their marriage, that'd be good. So they're praying, and they're talking to her, and they're encouraging her, and I'm just in the corner. So she's smiling, sweet young men, look at these guys. And then she sees me, and she just starts staring at me. And remember, I've got social phobia at this point, so I start sweating because this lady is staring at me. I'm also in pain, and she's just staring at me. And then a smile starts stretching across her face, and then I start sweating more because I don't know what's going on. She's not even listening to the people talking to her anymore. She's looking at me, smiling. And she basically interrupts everyone and says, "You're not very old, are you?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm only 14. Except I'm 14, so my voice doesn't sound like that. I'm going through puberty, so my voice sounds more like a truck that hasn't had its oil changed in 10 years. So it's like, "No, ma'am, I'm only 14. Something like that. That brings up another thing. Not only am I socially awkward and in a lot of pain, but I'm also in the middle of puberty right now. So, I'm not exactly in my Sunday's best. It's more like Monday's best. But I was like, "But did you know that when you're in your lowest point, that's when God can work the strongest through you?" So wait to see what God does right here. It's awesome. So she says, "You're not very old." And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm only 14. And she throws her hands up in the air and says, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." For she starts praising God. And I'm just sitting like, what did I do? I don't know what I did. And I could have done something. I don't remember how I got here. But no, I don't think I did anything. And she points at me and she says, You are exactly what I was praying for this morning. She said, "This morning I prayed that God would send the young people to do the work of the Lord, and you walked in my door." And she said, "I'm healed. Pray for me right now. Here's the healing." And her faith went through the roof. She had so much faith at that point just because I walked through the door. No wonder the devil was trying to keep me from walking through that door. And she said, come pray for me. Come pray for me right now. So everyone prayed over her, and I stretched my hands out. And her faith was doing the work. I wasn't doing anything. It's like her faith was pulling it out of me. Have you ever experienced that before, when someone else has so much faith and you're just the one to pray for them? I could actually feel it, the power of God going out of my hand as I prayed over her. And actually, everyone in the room felt it. We prayed over her, and it felt like a warm blanket fell on the room. Like, you could feel the presence of God. Have you ever been in that situation where you could, like, feel it in the air? The presence of God is so strong. Miss Mary Lou used to say you could cut it with a knife. It's so strong, you know. And that's this situation. And we prayed over her, and tears start pouring out of her eyes. And she says, I felt it. I felt a warmth go into my knees. And she said, I'm healed. God answered my prayer. And you guys know, we kept up with her. She went back to the doctors, completely healed. She didn't need surgery anymore. God completely healed her knees. And then we asked her, how's your loved one doing that had the marital issue? She's much better. It's already doing much better. And even also a miracle after that, we prayed for her, she got healed and all that. We went to do worship afterwards, and my stomach completely healed. No more pain right after that. So, I didn't do anything, guys. I didn't do anything. I didn't preach to her. I wasn't the one saying it. I wasn't even the one who had the friend that went in the car. But I was the answer to her prayer. And you, each and every one of you, are the answer to somebody's prayer. God is real for you, and he's got something for you to do. And you might, so don't ever say, oh, I'm too scared, I'm too sinful, I'm too hurt, I'm too broken, I'm too this, I'm too that. There is nothing to anything for God not to use you. You know, God is stronger than two. Write that down. God is stronger than two with two O's. It's not going to make sense out of context. But God is stronger than anything that is too much that you think you can't do it. So God is real for every single one of you. If you go up to the next scripture I got up there, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Guys, I tell you, if you believe in God, like I told you before, if you truly believe, the devil and all the forces of hell cannot stop you. It's impossible. God is too strong for that. So this is what I mean when I say, this is what it means for God to be real for you. When you truly believe, like I did at that time, that no matter what happens and no matter what you're going through, God will still come through to you for you. That's the way God works. And I like to say I've done it perfectly every time. That was a really cool story. I haven't always done it perfect. There's been plenty of times where I felt the unction of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't do it because I was too scared. But when you make mistakes, you don't give up. You don't give up because you understand that you are worth it for God to keep working on you. You understand? You are worth too much to God for him to throw you out if you make a mistake. That's never going to happen. It's Lincoln Martian. So, did you guys get anything out of this today? Guys, I had an awesome time speaking to you, and yes, you are worth it. I want you guys to understand that. Because as Pastor Bill said, we are moving into Gainesville soon. God's doing great things for us, and there's going to be a lot of hurt people coming in our church, people looking for God. And do you know where God is? He's in each and every one of you. So I want you to understand, it's not the people up here that God works through, although he does work through them. It's the people out here. Pastor Bill did a whole message on that. You know, the position of the ministers is not to do the work of God, is to equip you to do the work of service. So I don't want any of you thinking that you're not worth it to God. That's a lie of the devil. Cast that out right away. God is going to do miracles for you like he did for me when I was just a 14-year-old boy with all those issues going on. As long as you believe and you step forward and you walk one step at a time, sometimes all you got to do is walk through the door. All you got to do is get there and God will do the rest. Amen. You believe that? You guys believe that? Praise God. All right. Well, I'm going to pray with you guys today. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and for all these people that come into. I pray you'd make yourself real to every person right now in Jesus' name, that they would believe it with all their heart, that you are truly real to them. And I got a question for you guys, all of you. I was talking about being someone who believes. I have a question for you. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might say, well, I hope so. I think so. I'm not sure, though. How can anyone know for sure? Well, the Bible says you can know for sure. It says, I write these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you do that? Well, that means that the Bible says there comes a time in your life where you confess Jesus as Lord and ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he comes and lives in your life and makes you a new person. So if you haven't done that yet and you'd like to, in just a minute, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or raise your hand or come up front. Everyone's eyes are going to be closed. It's going to be between you and God. But I have another question. Maybe you've done that before in the past, and you feel right now that you're not where you need to be, and you heard that message, and you're like, I don't really feel like God is real to me, and I'd like him to be real to me. I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand for that as well. So if everyone could close their eyes, every eye closed, no one looking around. If either of those things apply to you, you want to dedicate your life to the Lord for the first time, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, go ahead and raise your hand right now. Show a declaration of faith. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Praise God. Anybody else? All right, you can open your eyes. Praise. A couple people raise their hands. That's awesome. So we're going to pray this prayer, and everyone's going to pray it with them, all right? So repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I need your help. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for my sins, and God raised him from the dead. Right now, I open my heart and invite you to come in. Cleanse me of all sin. Make yourself real to me. Keep me from evil. And make me into the person that you want me to be. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People just prayed that prayer, rededicated their lives. New day, awesome day. Amen.
Hey, give Michael a hand. That was an awesome message. You did great. Praise God. Don't you know that college ministry is just going to explode? Michael's a man of faith and a man of God, and such a great, great message. You know, he's leading that college ministry, and it's starting small, but because of his faithfulness, it's just gonna explode. It's gonna be great. And I think that's a message for all of us. You don't have to be perfect. We just have to be available. And the devil does do that, you know. We can all relate to what you're saying. Oh, I'm not worthy. Yeah, I believe he parted the Red Sea, but he's not going to heal my toe. That was such a good message, you know. You just make it real. I mean, God loves us. He cares about us. Great job. Great job, Michael. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with Michael to commit your life to the Lord, on your connection card, there's a box in